Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider.
Wait a minute, it was Trade Center today?
Basically.
Wrong sport.
Wrong sport,
there's
yeah.
no more Trade Center. It's like Gino and Carlo are going to cook pizzas in the back.
No, it's going to be busy this year.
What are you? Do you believe that, or are you trying to convince yourself that?
I mean, everything could happen beforehand, but, I mean, you know, Stone, Duchesne, quite possibly on the move. Maybe Panarin, but no guarantees. But there's enough guys. Like, there's quantity and quality of names out there right now. Now, you know, you never know for sure if they're all going to drop on the day, but there's some pretty significant names out there.
With a guy like Panarin, would there be, like, a heart-to-heart? Like, would Kekalainen, like, in the elevator, like, just say to him, can I talk to you for 5 minutes downstairs?
No, I think they've probably, if so, they've already had that.
So, like, the agent has said, look, he's not coming back, so you do whatever you want to
do. Yeah, basically. Yeah, they've played it, and Panarin's being, like, even with the media and everything, he's just like, you know, whatever. And Aaron Porcelain, who writes for The Athletic there, whatever, says he's going to smile his way right out of town.
But if, like, they don't trade Panarin, does that mean they won't trade Bobrovsky either? They're going to ride both
probably,
of those guys?
Probably. But, I mean, everything's fluid because it depends what you're getting offered. You know, if they lose every game between now and the trade deadline, they might be out of a playoff spot and they might say, what the hell? We're not playing very well. We don't look like a contending team with Panarin and Bobrovsky. Maybe we should trade them. But if they get themselves back up in the top three in the division and things go the way you kind of expect things to go for Columbus, it's going to take a real unbelievable offer to pull those guys out of there.
Bob McKenzie in studio, I'm seeing right now up on SportsCenter, and it just got posted on TSN.ca, Insider Trading with yourself and LeBron and his
Dregs. How could I be up there? I'm here.
Yeah, yes, I know. Bob. It's amazing how TV works. Are the Leafs and Hurricanes still trying to make a deal?
Yes.
What's going on there?
Lawrence Gilman, the assistant general manager of the Leafs, is in Buffalo tonight to check out the Hurricanes. So take your pick of the speculation. Right shot D, high price, right shot D, or Michael Ferland. Maybe a high price, but a rental.
Both.
Always all in on this year.
Are the Leafs all in, though? I mean, what
Well, they're not
mean?
all in, like, go nuts, blow your brains out. I mean, let me ask you this. So would you trade Johnsson or Kapanen right now for a right shot D?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah?
Which one?
Johnsson. Yeah. I would not trade Kasperi Kapanen, but I just think with all the dollars going out next year and guys are starting to get paid, and we've seen what's happened with teams. Chicago, guys start making money. Guess how many wins they've had in the playoffs? Not many.
Well, there's one thing I would say about Johnsson versus Kapanen is the right side for the Leafs is pretty loaded. The left side is struggling. Like, when Marlowe leaves in a year, who's playing the left side?
And that's the key financially, is they need the 6.3 that Marlowe makes over there. And so if they could do bridge deals and they don't get killed in an arbitration with Johnsson, and they can, you know, I mean it's funny, when Matthews signed, everybody's like, yay, and all I could think about was, well, Marner's thinking to himself, I'm be curious what I'm gonna get. And I can absolutely guarantee, even though they wouldn't admit it, Johnsson and Kapanen are saying to themselves, how does this affect me? Because that's the way it works, you know. Right. You've been on a hockey team before.
Yeah. Where do I fit in?
What's this mean to me? And everybody's a team guy, and I'm not suggesting anybody's being selfish or anything else, but it's just human nature. How does the Matthews deal affect me? And if you're Johnsson and Kapanen, what it affects is, I can't imagine there's any scenario whereby they get long-term deals coming out of entry level. Coming out of their deals now. And so you're looking at a 2 or 3 year bridge deal at as low a number as is humanly possible. So if the Leafs have to put the screws to poor Andreas Johnsson and Kasperi Kapanen, that's what needs to happen in the short term. And then obviously, but you know, and there's always somebody that needs to get paid. And in a few years, it'll be Riley. And the next season, it'll be Muzzin, you know, and what have you. But if they can get Marlowe's money off the books next year, then there's still a chance for some guys to make some coin after that.
Well, and if it is a right shot defenseman, they've got Muzzin, Hainsey, Zaitsev. So who's coming out of the lineup if they were to acquire one?
Well, I think they would like to Well, Muzzin's playing the left side right now.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Riley's playing the... Okay, Riley, right. Even less of right. a chance of moving.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Zaitsev would be the guy that if you could upgrade on Zaitsev somehow, but that's not going to be easy because of the years left on his deal and the, what is it, 4.5?
4.25, I
4.25,
think.
4.25 that he's making. And that's, you know, anybody who does number crunching for a living, and I don't, but, you know, they would say that the so-called market inefficiency on the Leafs payroll right now is paying Marleau 6-3, although Mike Babcock would argue, and certainly since the All-Star break, he's played really, really well, and he's been good for the Leafs. I mean, it's not like he's not doing anything for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think he's played pretty well. But at 6-3, they could probably want to allocate those dollars somewhere else. And Zaitsev would be the other guy. Connor Brown at $2.1 million on the fourth line would be another one. So those are some of the quote-unquote soft spots on the Leaf payroll right now. But Babcock plays Zaitsev a ton, and he plays Marleau a ton. So it's not like they're not getting... It's not like it's dead cap space where you've got some seventh defenseman making 4.25 or some fourth line forward making 6.3. These guys are players for Mike Babcock. But in a perfect world... Would the Leafs like to upgrade on Zaitsev for the same money? And the answer probably would be yes, I would think.
Well, perfect example of what you just said is Dion Phaneuf, who's got 2 years left after this at a cap of 5.25 in L.A. because Ottawa ate some money when right. they got rid of him or when they made the trade, and he's a healthy scratch. Mm-hmm. Tonight, like, how ugly is this going to get for Dion in the future?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, they've got some young defensemen there, and they've been scratching them and not scratching Dion. So tonight they went the other route. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is the way it's going to be for the next couple of years, but it doesn't mean it's not either. So I guess
can't get better from there. I'm telling you,
you wouldn't think so, but
no.
Well, the team he came from, Ottawa.
Big
owner,
projections coming
Eugene
up.
Melnyk. Eugene Melnyk. I love how this came out of an event in Toronto.
During the game. No, but the best part was it happened. This is.
What
I haven't
was
talked.
The event? It was a corporate event, but what was it?
Here's what it was. I believe there was a corporate event for the Sens were putting on a corporate event. Melnyk was putting a corporate event at the Hockey Hall of Fame, and he had all the corporate sponsors and people associated that you want to, you know,
schmooze
and rally around your team and give us your money and sponsorships and whatever else. But the team was there, too. The players were there.
Right. It was the night before, right?
Yeah, the night before the game, so all the players were there. So he says what he said, which is, hey, things are looking great. We're two more years of the rebuild, but by 2021, we're not going to be a budget team anymore. We're going right to the cap, and then it's going to be bombs away, dream baby, 5 years of unparalleled success, and we're going to completely change the way we've done business in Ottawa, and it's going to be great.
Make
the
Ottawa great again.
The two guys that are coming up to be signed, what do they care about? They don't want to be garbage the next 2 years. They're in their prime.
Well,
Stone and Duchesne.
So, but they know, even quite aside from whatever Eugene says, they know the reality of the situation, how long it's going to take. 2 years might be overly optimistic. But the point being is, what struck me, though, was, so they have the event on a Tuesday night. So, okay, so they told everybody that Tuesday night. And then it's like, okay, well, let's put a press release out on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon or midday Wednesday.
Nope.
But it's right in the middle of a Leaf game when you're on national television, which is cool. I mean, if you want to maximize getting your message out, I guess why not put it in? But it's real. How often are you watching a game and you're sitting there and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Here's
the team that's playing just put a press release out about the long-term future of the team. No. Really important announcement. And you're like, okay, they're playing here. And,
no, I know.
And so anyways, you know, so there, as I said on Insider Trading, there's three ways to look at it. One, it's a bold departure point that we're going to do business much differently in Ottawa, and it's a mission statement. We're changing how we do things in Ottawa now in 2 years, but we're changing how we do things. Or it's a rather transparent, obvious sales pitch to Duchesne and Stone, who are in the audience as this is unfolding, although I have to believe that whatever Eugene told the group, Duchesne and Stone probably were told that over the course of their conversations in the last week or 10 days with the Senators. And then the third one, and this is the one, you know, and let's make a deal C for the door, what's behind door number C, C for cynical, is, you know, it's a PR move to send a message. We're doing everything we can to sign these guys. We've told them this. Now we're telling you this. And so if they pack up and head out of town in the next week or two, don't blame us, because we gave them a pretty glowing idea of how good things are going to be around here. And, you know, and so take your pick.
This is the same guy. I mean, the same guy who has been ragging on the fans and talking about didn't buy this team to lose money and suggesting that, you know, Erik Karlsson, he wasn't going to pay him. And it's always been about not spending the money for Eugene and how he was sort of doing everybody a favor by buying this team. It would be a complete 180 as far as his the way he runs that team to all of a sudden decide he's going to start throwing money hand over fist.
Well,
if it only took 2 years to rebuild a team, the Edmonton Oilers would probably be in a lot better spot than they are right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what it really, so it doesn't matter how cynical any of us are. The reality is, what did Duchesne and Stone think?
Mm.
That's and the crux of this, and I said this even before Eugene had the event on Tuesday night or any of the release came out on Wednesday, and that is simply this. The whole crux of this thing is, if you're Mark Stone or Matt Duchesne, do you believe, do you have faith that Eugene Melnyk and Pierre Dorion and the coaching staff and the scouts and the entire organization are going to do what they told you they're going to do in these meetings they're having, where and do you envision a future whereby you're going to be any good, your team is going to be any good, you know, well before the expiry of your contract? And if you really believe that, then I'm sure the Sens will overpay them to stay. And if you don't believe that, then you never get to the money part of it.
Well, that was the other thing, though, too, wasn't it? In the press release, they referred to, they said the general manager will do something, instead of saying Pierre Dorion would be the person to do that.
Yeah, I didn't even notice
that.
Well,
3 years down the road, I mean, I'm much more cynical than you are.
Don't you think that as soon as the guys throw out the old, you know, it's business, I love it here. We saw it with Johnny T last year.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm talking about Melnyk. I'm way more cynical. I think this is, I got 3 years to sell the team, and who cares about my comments if I'm still not the owner? Yeah. Like, he's got 3 years now where he's just like, don't talk to me. You know, in 3 years, you can hold me to these comments. You know, if I'm in Ottawa, I'm like, I'm not accepting those terms.
Right.
Why would I accept that? So I'm just not going to cover the team or expect anything out of you for 3 years? No chance.
And, to your point, I agree with you. You know, when you hear Matt Duchesne say,
I like it here, but it's a business.
But having said that, the one little thing that's gnawing away at me just a little bit is that I think one of the things Matt Duchesne's having like a career year this year.
Yeah, he's playing very, very
and why
well.
Is he having a career year? Well, that's pretty elementary to me. He's the number one center, undisputed. There's no threat to his spot on the power play. He and Mark Stone are the guys in Ottawa. They play on different lines more nights than not, I think. And so Matt Duchesne has always wanted to be the number one center, but he got eclipsed by MacKinnon in Colorado. And I'm sure he wants to win, and I'm sure that's a big element of it, and that will be probably the motivating factor if he decides to leave and not stay in Ottawa. But I also think he wants to be in a really prominent role and the go-to guy on a team. And the only team that can give him that right now is the Ottawa Senators. And now if you give him that, number one center, top power play, 90, 100 points,
and pay him
recognition, and we're going to give you 8 years, and we're going to give you more than $8 million a year, which is probably more than you're going to get from a contending team in the offseason, then maybe you say, yeah, you know what? How bad is it? It's not bad life. Really close to home in Halliburton, just had a baby, like being in Ontario, and good bunch of young guys coming on the team. I could talk myself into this. And so there's a little part of me that thinks maybe that's the case, but I've been the one, like you, that's the pessimism meter is pointing towards, see you later, I'm out of town. But I don't know that for a fact.
Bobby, not just out of town. I think that if you get that one chance, if you could set up shop with your agent in his office and just hear different scenarios once in your career, like, who knows who wants to talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
Just to hear those interviews one time, like, San Jose could come, this team could come, just something could come up where you're like, man, I didn't know that was out there. You get it once in your career.
Yeah, it'd be enticing.
Yep. And that's where it's, A lot of times it's the fear of the unknown that scares somebody. And in this instance, it could be, it's the other way around. It's the fear of the known versus what the unexpected future might hold for me. And that's what you got to balance. And but the funny thing is, the Duchesne thing is like there's back and forth, and it's front burner, and it seems like all the focus and energy in Ottawa is on Duchesne. Haven't heard anything on Mark Stone. So if Duchesne is slow play right now, Stone is no play right now. Now, that doesn't mean the Sens won't take another run at him, but this whole process, I think, is coming to an end here in the next few days. I think by the beginning of next week, we're going to have some clarity. Either...
Tell you what,
if either someone's staying or they're going, and if they're going, then the auction's on next week. But if they're not there just yet.
If they both go, what a mess. Like, what a mess.
Well, it's a mess anyway, man. They're dead last in the league, and they don't have their pick. Like, they're dead last in the league, and they don't have their pick. It's a disaster regardless. Yeah. Stay or leave, it doesn't matter.
And you got to wait and see what they get coming back the other way.
Yeah.
But it obviously, you know, with Duchesne and Stone... And Brady Tkachuk and Colin White and Thomas Chabot and, you know, and Drake Batherson, and the list goes on and on of some pretty good young players that they could start to build around. If you've got Stone and Duchesne in that mix, then the 2 years that Eugene forecast of, you know, 2 years of a hard rebuild still, and then we're going to be in a position to do something, it's not a ridiculous notion. But if Stone and Duchesne are both gone and what you get back are first round picks and 18 and 19 year olds, well, then you're more than 2 years away from.
There was an extra little dig at lunch today. I was having lunch and the highlights were on in SportsCenter. And a guy was standing behind me and he's like, Zibanejad scored for the Rangers. He's like, man, that guy's having a good year. How the hell did he get with the Rangers? And I'm like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, Sens traded him.
Derek Brassard.
Yeah. It's like that was one of the first. And at the time, it was kind of good, but it was like, I was like, man.
We knew at the time that it wasn't going to age well. And if everything the Sens did that year was designed to, A, make the playoffs, make noise in the playoffs, and they got the double overtime in Game 7, a goal away from knocking the Pittsburgh Penguins out, who won the Cup, and going to the Stanley Cup Final.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was designed to do that. And then as soon as they lost there, you would argue that the bigger mistake than Brassard for Zibanejad was starting the next season without Mathot, who got lost in expansion and what have you, and then doubling down and doing the Duchesne trade when the magic was gone. That what had happened the year before
wasn't
going to be replicated, and they were trying to replicate it by doing the Turris Duchesne trade. That's where they doubled down, and now they're deeper in the spot.
All right, Bob. We're getting closer to trade deadline. We'll see where it takes us.
To mail it in March is where it takes us.
That's right. Eventually it'll get there.
We're going to mail it in, Bobby.
Yes, we are.
There's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.